Met Michiel.
Special. The 1975.
Matthew, congratulations on the new album.
Thank you very much.
I understood that the title of the album is something that you actually said to a girlfriend, or...
I think it was, but I think that it's been... I think that it was probably romanticized. I wasn't on like a chaise longue, like, and I didn't, it wasn't like a moment from like a Robert Graves poem. I probably said something. I think I probably did say that, and I wrote it down. But it wasn't a defining moment. It wasn't like
you wrote it down at that same point. Wait a second, darling.
I do that all the time.
You do that?
Well, yeah, that's how you. I mean, I forget stuff all the time. So whenever I think of something, that would be a nice lyric. It wasn't like a thing I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. It was just a lyric. And the reason that it became the title for the album was because we'd just got past that stage of being kind of petrified of making a new record and all the things that come along with it. And we got to a place where we were like, right, we've just got to make really bold decisions, you know? And that lyric was there.
Yeah.
And before we'd even written the album, we were like, well, fuck it. We let's call it this, not the best lyric on the album, but if we call it that now, the album is already ridiculous. We have to make that album, you know? It was setting a precedent for a bit of bold decisions and conviction. We didn't try to be the band that we are now. We love making music. That's what we do. That's you can call it our hobby or our obsession, or that's just what we do as a group of friends. Mm-hmm. And we just thought, that's what we did, so let's just do that. Let's not think about what people are going to think or what people expect or presumptions or what's happening or trying to be. Let's just do what we want to do.
Make music.
Exactly. And then that materialized in like going away to this studio where nobody had the address for apart from our manager, and there's no doorbell, and it was all this very, very now it sounds ridiculous, but like we locked ourselves away, and we were completely hidden from the outside world, and you know, we just delivered that 17 track album when it was finished.
Just go, bring it ice, an ice point up tight, just go.
whenever we play Love Me, the lead single, on the radio, I get text messages from listeners, and they range from Peter Gabriel to David Bowie to INXS to, well, basically everything 80s.
Well, that was it.
Is this something that you can relate to, or do you think, oh, no, we make our own music?
No. For me now, in order to express myself, we need to be kind of postmodern. Like, the vocabulary of rock and roll and pop culture and music is so big now, you can't do something without referencing something else. It's funny, if you look at the 80s thing, this 80s revival, the fact that 80s... The concept of the 80s has been so exploited in dance music and pop culture and all these kind of things. The 80s revival has almost lasted longer than the 80s itself.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're in this weird cyclical kind of, and everything's very self-aware. So of course, Love Me is a call to arms of kind of referencing and being this generation that creates in the way that we consume, and being a rock star. What's a rock star? Is it having a shirt off? Is it, you know, all of these things are kind of post-ironic. Like, is it a joke or is it not? So Love Me is kind of like that. And of course it sounds like INXS. It is INXS. It's Peter Gabriel. It's Bowie. It's Skritti Palitti. It's everything I could think of to fit into one song.
Skritti Palitti, I haven't heard that name in quite a while.
A massive influence on our band, the guitar sound. Well, that's kind of where my guitar sound comes from. Prince and Skritti Palitti, it's all that active pickups, solid state amplifiers, really heavy chorus.
Bands like Skritti Palitti, people might say, oh, that's guilty pleasure. That's something we used to love back then, but...
Doesn't exist anymore.
No, I mean, these are actually bands and songs that are... They created some sort of like their own genre.
Our time now is other times. That's what our culture is. Our culture is referencing cultures from another time. Everything in fashion is referencing things from before. And that's where the way it's always been. But guilty pleasures and stuff now, I don't really have guilty pleasures, because I think it's, you know, a great song is a great song. And I think that now with Skritti Palitti, I don't know, at the time, like Duran Duran, it wasn't cool to like Duran Duran.
Yeah.
But now people will take them at face value and be like, well, they were great.
Yeah.
They had great songs. They looked great. It was a great thing. So I don't really have the guilty pleasure thing.
Understand.
The Streets. It's probably the most important album.
We're talking Mike Skinner.
Mike Skinner, yeah, he's like my hero, really. I met him once, and I really understood it because he was talking about class and the difference in class and cultural things. But he was talking from a place of boredom, and he was talking from a place almost from a kind of a middle class, a lower middle class. And I really related to somebody British talking over all these kind of like garage beats. It's just a very important record to me.
This ain't the down, it's the upbeat, make it complete. So what's the story? Guaranteed accuracy, enhanced CD. Latest technology, darts at treble 20. Huge non-recoupable advance, majors be vigilant. I excel in both content and deliverance. So let's put on our classics and we'll have a little dance, shall we? No sales pitch, no media hype. No hydro, it's nice and ripe. I speak in communications in bold type. This ain't your archetypal street sound. Scan for ultrasounds, north, south, east, west and all round. And then to the underground.
You see that everything's